Trevor Zamparelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Over 1.7 million refugees have crossed the border now, and the number is it's going up from the Ukraine. Mostly women, some of them pregnant and children. One of those women is Maria Romanenko, whose job as a journalist meant she had to leave her country and her family. And she joins me now from Manchester. She's on the line. Maria, good morning.
Good morning.
You made the very difficult decision to leave the Ukraine. I'm sure it was a really difficult journey. Can you just describe what you had to go through to get out?
Yeah, so we were in Kyiv on Wednesday when we decided to go to the outskirts of Kyiv because we were hearing that something heavy would happen overnight that night, and that was Wednesday, 23rd of February. And so we decided to go to the outskirts of Kyiv, where my dad lives, so me and my boyfriend, who's British. So it was the two of us. And we woke up there near Kyiv to the news and media reports of an all-out invasion happening in Ukraine. So that's when my boyfriend was like, we need to get out of the country. And I just basically followed him. I think if it wasn't for him, I would have stayed with my family, who all remains in Ukraine now. So basically, we went to Lviv, which took us 10 hours by car. Normally, it takes 5 hours. And we stayed there for like a couple of hours over the night. And then we woke up at 4 a.m. and set the course for the Polish border, which took us a further 6 hours by car just to get to the pedestrian border. Normally, it takes about an hour and 15 minutes. And then it took us 23 hours on foot in the queue.
23 hours on foot, did you say?
Yes, yes.
Wow.
And that is without any food or drinks or water or toilet facilities, because it's very like cramped, very crowded area where everybody was queuing. And it was very dangerous to be there because it was just like, imagine like the worst kind of concert where everybody's just so cramped and you can't even like really put your arms down. Mm-hmm. So in those conditions, we had to spend, you know, 23 hours. Well, some of the parts were a bit better where you could actually, you know, have a bit of space. But most of it probably, yeah, a good half of it was literally you couldn't even move much. And there was like pushing, crashing and people falling sick. I myself fell sick at one point. And obviously all this like 23 hours, I couldn't even like use the bathroom. So it was very, very difficult conditions. But when we finally made it to the Polish side, it was much better. It was very quick and efficient. And we were greeted by lots of lovely volunteers who were offering food and accommodation and transport and water and hot drinks, anything you could possibly want. And we were just overwhelmed by this amazing positive response by Poland.
And then you flew to Manchester. Can you just describe how you felt when you landed in Manchester?
Yeah, I'll give a couple of things if that's okay, how I actually, you know, why I couldn't go straight to Manchester or why we had to wait 4 nights in Poland. Because I didn't have a visa for the UK. I applied for a visa beginning of February, and the wait times were just ridiculously long for some reason. And normally it takes like 2-2.5 weeks to get a visa, but it was already 3 weeks since I applied. So we spent 4 nights in Poland, and we spent almost an entire day out of those 4 days that we spent by the British Embassy, just kind of trying to find out where my visa is. And it turned out that I still don't have a physical visa, but I know that it's been granted to me. It turns out that because of the war, it was lost somewhere. So I can't physically get my UK visa, but I know it was granted to me. So as soon as we found out that we were given a visa waiver by the British Embassy or the British government, and we flew to Manchester a few nights ago, I'm a bit lost in time, to be honest now, but yeah, landing in Manchester was really nice, especially because it's my boyfriend's home. And, you know, for him, it was a big relief. But for me, it's obviously a place that where I've been a few times, and it's a place, you know, it's safety. It's being at home as opposed to sleeping on people's floors and couches, which is what we did in Poland.
Maria, you had to leave your family in the Ukraine. Your parents?
Yes, both my parents, my my brother, everybody. Like, it's not like anybody other than me have escaped Ukraine. So everybody is still there, all my family and quite a lot of my friends as well.
And your dad has joined the army, I believe?
He's joined the Territorial Defence Force, which are basically the self-organized groups in like small towns or in neighborhoods, which organize themselves by, you know, they all take up arms and they patrol the territory and do it in shifts so that, you know, every hour of the day somebody's out in the streets with arms. And if something happens, if, you know, the Russians make it to the town, then there is somebody to defend the territory. And then I guess it kind of works by alerting each other so they're all in contact and sort of do their best to defend the territory. So this is what my dad is doing in his town now.
Had he ever picked up arms before?
No, not really. Maybe apart from like the shooting range or whatever. Wow. You know, those are kind of not, you know, not in a sort of serious circumstances, obviously.
And have you spoken to him recently? How's he doing and how are your family doing over there?
My dad, last time I talked to him, I think it was yesterday, he was all right, but I'll definitely give him a call today as well. My mum and my brother are staying put together, like near Kyiv, living together, and my brother's wife as well. They are all right, other than obviously the discomfort of having to live in a, like, share a small room between three people and a dog. Where they're staying now, but, you know, they're in safety. That town where they are has not been shelled, even though there is air sirens all the time, and they have to like go to a bomb shelter, you know, a lot. They are safe in the town where they are, and I also have a 91-year-old grandma who's bedridden, so even if something happened to where she is, she couldn't physically make it anywhere.
Yeah, we hear that a lot. So you're in Manchester now, your partner is from there. What is the plan? Do you think your family will ever join you in the UK while this is going on?
Well, men can't physically leave Ukraine, you know, unless they're under 18 or over 60. But, you know, my dad would not, even though he's turning 60 in September, he would not leave Ukraine because he was always very firm on the fact that it's his country. He's prepared to defend it. He's prepared to die for it if he needs to. So there would be no way, like, he would never sort of, you know, leave Ukraine, especially at such a time. My brother couldn't leave as well because he's also over 18.
How old is your brother? Do you mind me asking?
He's 32.
So he has to enlist. He's there.
32,
yeah.
And 30, turning 33 this year. And my mom, I think maybe if she made the decision to leave sooner, she probably is regretting that she didn't make the decision sooner. I guess I'm not really speaking for her, but right now it's just very difficult to leave the country in general because a lot of the routes are blocked because, you know, there's heavy shelling going on, there's Russian soldiers. And also the fact is, you know, it's made more difficult by the fact that there are lots of people trying to flee now and the trains are just overcrowded by people and you probably have to spend like days at the train station in order to get the next available train. So it's kind of very difficult to leave now.
Will you ever forget the journey? Will you ever forget that journey you made from Ukraine to the border to Poland? I mean, will that stay with you forever?
I think so, yeah. I mean, as much as it was awful and, yeah, I wouldn't wish it upon anyone, but we're in safety now. There's lots of people who aren't in safety now. And it's kind of like a once-in-a-lifetime experience, I guess, that it's, you know, a lot of people are going through the same thing or have gone through the same, not just from Ukraine, but in general. So I'm not going to sort of draw attention to me and say that, you know, I'm suffered so much because there's obviously people who have been in bomb shelters almost without, you know, 24/7 since for the last 12 days. So as much as it was very difficult, I'm very grateful to have made it to the UK and to have seen this amazing hospitality both in Poland and the UK.
I mean, we are in awe of the courage of the people in Ukraine. What can we do to help?
Well, Ukraine's been asking, I'm sure you and your audience have, your listeners have seen that Ukraine's been asking for the no-fly zone for a very long time. Our president has literally been begging NATO to give it to Ukraine, it seems like. That plea has been rejected at least once, and it was made quite clear that NATO is not doing it, unfortunately. If there's a way to still persuade NATO, that would be a great help, because that's what would definitely ensure that the safety and the, you know, the lives and of the civilians, because this is how people are dying through this airstrikes and everything. I think then another thing, I know that Ireland is doing a lot and they're accepting Ukrainian refugees, which is great, but I think the UK could step up a lot and help, especially especially like families, because I know a lot of people who are not sort of seeking for asylum, but they just have families in the UK, and it makes most sense for them to go to the UK as opposed to Poland, which is accepting a lot of refugees. So it's a shame that the entry into the UK has not been made easier for them. And just spreading the word, talking to your MPs and asking them to do more, I think will definitely help. Ukraine is definitely needing a lot of anti-aircraft missiles in order to shoot down Russian planes. A lot of that is coming from the air. I think Ukrainian land troops and that are joined by regular civilians are doing a great, fantastic job. But it's definitely the threat that's coming from the sky that is a problem now, because Ukrainian air forces are lacking in strength as compared to Russia.
Maria, thank you so much for taking the call. I know you've been through a lot, and it's great to hear that you're safe in Manchester, and we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks, Maria. Bye-bye. There we go. That is Maria Romanenko from Ukraine, has made that horrific journey across the border, is now in Manchester and is safe, and that is good to hear. But there's still a lot of people that we need to get out.
Jennifer Zaffarelli. Weekday morning from 9 on 2FM.